Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Today's podcast of The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
Half of all unemployed people say they've suffered from anxiety or depression. More than half have borrowed money from friends or relatives. Three-quarters of major cities reported a rise in family homelessness. Almost all have seen a huge increase in the demand for food assistance.
My life is full of empty promises and broken dreams. I'm hoping things look up, but there ain't no job openings.
When you lose everything and become homeless, hopelessness follows. So what happens for me is that I start to feel like there is no hope, and then why bother?
Rock bottom. It's a dangerous and scary place. On The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning. It's Tuesday, December 15th, and the takeaway for me is that we now have 15 million, perhaps, people who find there are holes in the safety net that are large enough for entire families to fall through.
Well, with the more than 14 million Americans unemployed this holiday season, I mean, the takeaway is, how can a number like that seem so invisible so much of the time? We talk about numbers on this program, but the sort of human scale of this is
really the issue. Yeah, how can 15 million people disappear off the radar?
That's right. Well, we're going to find them, and we're going to get right to it. First, the public option in the news this morning. Now the plan to expand Medicare may fall by the wayside in the health care debate. The idea of letting people aged 55 to 64 buy into Medicare was dropped by Democratic senators last night, a day after it drew fire from some moderate Democrats. Majority Leader Harry Reid is trying to hold his caucus together in the face of united Republican opposition.
We have gone over most of the hurdles. It's like a steeplechase race. Last big puddles in front of us. We'll jump over that and we'll be to the finish line.
President Obama will meet with Senate Democrats today to discuss ways to pass a health care bill by Christmas. They're leaving Guantanamo and possibly heading to the heartland. The White House is expected to announce today it plans to use a state prison about 150 miles outside Chicago to house a number of terrorist suspects now being held at Guantanamo Bay in Cuba. A series of car bombings have rocked Kabul and Baghdad this morning. In Kabul, the bomber struck near the home of a former Afghan vice president, killing at least eight and wounding more than 40. In Baghdad, a series of explosions went off minutes apart near the heavily guarded Green Zone, killing five.
Here at home, a New York Times poll shows the recession is having a traumatic effect on many Americans, and unemployment is forcing more people into homeless shelters for the first time. For more on this, we're joined now by Kevin Roach. He's the executive director of the South Oakland Shelter in Royal Oak, Michigan. Kevin, you have 30 beds in your mission. Is that usually enough to shelter the people who come to your doors?
Definitely not, Celeste. What we've seen in the last year or so is that the 30 beds are vastly inefficient to meet the increasing number of those individuals and households who are experiencing homelessness throughout the Southeast Michigan region. And definitely what we've seen in the past year or so is that changing face of homelessness, which of course includes a sharp increase in the number of women and children who are experiencing homelessness, as well as those who are experiencing homelessness for the very first time. Roughly this past year, it's been about 45% of all of our clients who were first-time homeless.
And nothing invisible about any of those people you serve, right, Kevin?
Definitely not, John. Yeah.
Okay, stay with us, Kevin. We'll talk with you more in just a moment.
All right, CT scans used by doctors to get clear views of internal organs in the news this morning. It may lead to higher rates of cancer. Two just published studies say overuse of the scans and variations in radiation doses may ultimately lead to new cancer cases.
The news is better for tea and coffee drinkers. A new study shows they have a lower risk of developing type 2 diabetes, and it's not just the caffeine, since decaf has the greatest effect.
Great.
Asian markets ended lower. European indices are mixed. Wall Street futures are down as the Dow gets underway at 10,501. The S&P will start out at 1,114, and the NASDAQ opens up at 2,212.
Little advice for you how you can turn a seasonal job into a permanent one in our work segment a little later this hour. Also, this week, we're talking about reading between the lines, fine print in your life, being vigilant about the little details to control costs and other kinds of things that in the 21st century we have to pay more attention to. Today, we're going to talk about ATM fees and avoiding bank fees. Tell us your stories about avoiding the fine print or learning how to be vigilant, send us an email to mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us at 877-8-MYTAKE.
We'll talk more about the holes in the safety net in a moment.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
Half of all unemployed people say they've suffered from anxiety or depression during the past year. 25% of them have applied for food stamps. One-fifth have visited a food bank. Those are some of the results from a new New York Times survey of unemployed Americans. And it's a place, John, where statistics, you almost, they kind of pass over my head. They seem so surprising to me.
Numbers conceal more than they reveal, I think, ultimately.
Sometimes they really do. You have to stop and really examine each one of them and see what that means. We are joined by James Forestieri. He's been homeless and living at the Bowery Mission in Manhattan for the past 6 months. He rejoins us. We spoke with you before, James. We wanted to get an update on how things are for you. You've been unemployed for 6 months, but you've gone through the program at the Bowery Mission, and you're now ready to find a job.
That's
right?
Correct.
How are things?
Things are good. I feel pretty optimistic.
You do?
I do.
But you hear what I just said about the results of this poll of unemployed people, that many of them suffered anxiety, depression. Does any of that surprise you? Does that sound pretty familiar to the situation you've been in?
It does. It does. It doesn't surprise me one bit. I see a lot of people every day at the mission that need help. But it doesn't overwhelm me. It doesn't deter me. I think what the Bowery Mission does so well, like other faith-based organizations, through their program, not only did they give you the skills to seek employment, but they instill hope. So I think that, from a state, like I said last time, from coming from an overwhelming sense of hopelessness to go through a program to learn some more job skills on top of the ones that I have and be guided and encouraged and given hope. Puts me in a position now, sitting here, that I'm pretty optimistic about going back into the workforce.
Well, you're one of the lucky ones who found a shelter and there was a place for you. Mm-hmm. We're rejoined by Kevin Roach, the executive director of the South Oakland Shelter in Royal Oak, Michigan. Kevin, there's not always places for everyone who needs shelter and needs encouragement.
Definitely. I think that's what we have seen in this past year, is just a sharp increase in the number of those who are seeking shelter and other services, but unfortunately many homeless shelters and other human service providers are unable to really adequately meet that sharp increase that we've seen in this past year, definitely.
Kevin, you described the people who come into the shelter there in Michigan as shell-shocked. Can you tell me what you mean by that?
Definitely. I think what we were really talking about earlier was this fact that we are definitely seeing a different face of homelessness, a changing face of homelessness, kind of away from what we typically think are the stereotypes surrounding homelessness, that we have seen this shifting face of homelessness, which includes those individuals who are women and children, households experiencing homelessness, as well as those who are experiencing homelessness for the very first time. And that, of course, comes with it a dramatically different approach that we have to take. They're not used to the services. They're not used to being in this type of a situation. They are coming to us traumatized, shell-shocked, unsure of what to do or where to go or who to talk to or any of those other services that are offered, just because they've never had to do it before. And that has, of course, forced the social workers at my agency to dramatically shift and alter their approach and, of course, meeting their needs.
These are people that you describe it as having worked for maybe Ford or Chrysler for years, no criminal record, no substance abuse problems, the unemployment ran out, they've lost their homes to foreclosure. And
definitely.
James, and I'm wondering, for those people who come in, there's an added issue of guilt.
Absolutely.
That
absolutely.
They feel like
and shame and feel like failures, and that's why I think there's the increase in depression, because I know that in my life, when I've so-called lost everything and hit a bottom. And ended up homeless, the overwhelming sense of, how did I get here? How did I get here? What happened? And what can I do now? And in that, it's hard to see your way out of it. It's hard to see how I can move forward, how I could come out of the current condition that I was in. That's why I think that being in a place like the Bowery Mission helped me so much, because they showed me the way out.
Okay, we're joined now by Andrew Stettner. He is with the National Employment Law Project. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning.
This is not a problem in Brooklyn, and it's not just a problem in Michigan, right? This is the U.S. Conference of Mayors saying that 22 out of 23 cities they spoke to had an increase in requests for food from families.
When you have 1 out of 10 adults, at least, in some measures 1 out of 6 out of work, it's a national crisis. People have been out of work so long that whatever personal and family resources they had has been stretched to bear. What's interesting about this poll is it does show the safety net is responding in better than it did, let's say, example, in the severe 1980s recession. More workers are getting help from unemployment or food stamps, health care. But what's very interesting to me, this poll comes out just at the time when Congress is deciding whether to pull the plug on the kind of assistance that's been available. And if anything, this poll should just really show that we really have to do more, not less, to support the jobless.
Well, political tough times, Andrew. But let's talk about some of the things that Kevin and James were referring to a moment ago, this sense of being shell-shocked. How difficult is it for people to become self-advocates and to really demand rightful services, things that are available to them through the safety net as a way of keeping their families healthy and keeping them away from rock bottom?
Most of these folks have been self-reliant their whole life, have never had to ask for help from their family, for one sense, or even our government, for sure. And so this is a complete new experience for people. It's overwhelming. You know, these offices are in parts of town or with people that you have never interacted with before. So there is huge barriers to getting assistance. For those of us, it's not hard to imagine, for those of us whose identity is wrapped up in going to work, playing by the rules, to have the rug pulled under you, it's very hard not to blame yourself, even if you're not to blame.
Andrew Stettner, you told one of our producers that you had a question for John Hocken, my co-host, John Hockenberry, if you saw him at a cocktail party. What was that question?
Well, I always ask John, what is it about America when we can have so many adults out of work, and the nation just appears to be going about its business, and it's not a national priority to address this?
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, I think we explore this every day on the program. I think part of it is the disparity of who's employed, who's not employed, who's wealthy, who's not wealthy. I mean, there are enormous disparities in the United States, and they become existential disparities where people are living in two different nations in this country sometimes. I don't know if that's you're closer to the ground than I am, Andrew.
Well, what's surprising about that is it does seem like everybody knows someone who's out of work. I mean, it's stretched further and deeper into all different stratas of society. I think we just have such a culture that we think that everyone can do it on their own, that the economy will recover on its own. And so we're just kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. But that just may not be enough this time.
Self-reliance is kind of a narcotic that lulls us into thinking everything's going to be okay. That's an interesting way of putting it. That's a great takeaway there, Andrew.
Andrew Stettner is the Deputy Director of the National Employment Law Project. Also, Kevin Roach from the South Oakland Shelter in Royal Oak, Michigan, joined us. And again, our friend James Forestieri, living at the Bowery Mission in Manhattan for the past 6 months. Thanks to all of you. It's 15 minutes past the hour now. A quick look at the headlines.
A couple of headlines here. Car bombing in Kabul, killing at least 8 people, wounding more than 40. The bomber may have been targeting a former Afghan vice president. Violent day in Baghdad as well. Series of car bombs tore through the Iraqi capital. At least 5 killed, dozens wounded. And at the White House, there's expected to be an announcement today to buy a prison to house Guantanamo Bay detainees. The Thompson Correctional Center in rural Illinois is able to hold around 1,600 inmates. 200 prisoners remain at Gitmo.
So far, there's been no sign at all of the two climbers missing on Mount Hood in Oregon. They're looking at the weather today, and the forecast is not looking good. The body of a third climber was found on Saturday. That's a look at some of the stories that we're following this morning. And coming up, it looks like the Philadelphia Phillies will be hearing a lot more from them in the next year. We'll explain in a few minutes.
Thanks for listening to the Takeaway Podcast. If there's a story you think we should look at or a conversation you'd like us to start, drop us a line at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.